Good morning.
Morning.
And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I know it's holiday mood, and quite a number of us are traveling. This morning's reading is very carefully chosen from the book of Isaiah, talk about the prophecy of the coming Christ. And from the Gospel, John, he came. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the passage of Galatians talk about in the process, in after that, what were the consequences? And in the reading of the Galatians, it's taken from the last portion of chapter 3. And then continue in chapter 4, talking about the sonship. And interestingly, I think for some unknown reason, they drop verses 1 to 5 to 6, which were the root in the Jewish belief and tradition. And this morning, I want to focus in Galatians. I hope to bring you to a better understanding of the sonship of Christ Jesus and the effect onto us as a Christian, as a believer of Christ as our Savior. God sent Moses and gave us the law through Moses. And what was the purpose of giving us the law? It's very simple and straightforward. Before law, there was no sin. You may ask, didn't people commit wrong things? Yes, people did wrong things. But without the law, you cannot nail anyone. For an example, maybe 30 years ago, you cross the road without paying attention. You just cross. The only consequences could be you were knocked down by a car. But there was no law or punishment for that act of doing. But now it's different. At the traffic light, at certain time you can cross, at certain place you can cross at certain time. If you did not obey the rules, the policeman can give you a summon. You were wrong. So before law, nothing can nail you. But when there is a law, there is punishment. And there would be consequences. God gave us law and put us in the circle of sins. You may ask, why God did that? After that, God gave us almost 1,400 years for the people to realize one important thing. You would not be able to save yourself by keeping the law. In another word, there is no way to keep the law. And before law, you should face the punishment and consequences. The Pharisees tried to lower the standard of demand of the law. And they thought, we can fulfill. We keep the Sabbath. We keep the ceremonial law. But deep in their heart, they knew, no matter how they try, it's impossible to keep the law. And Jesus came, he did not abolish the law, but to fulfill. How to fulfill? God wanted us to understand it's only through Christ Jesus, a sinless man who can redeem us from sin and from the law. And through the whole process, Paul was trying to teach this to the people, to the Christian, of course, at first, the Jewish Christian. And I would like to bring you to Galatians chapter 4 from verse 1 onward. So you may keep your Bible open at chapter 4, verse 1. Paul wrote, "I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything, but he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father." How are we going to understand the belief? One way is through the Jewish custom, culture, and the context. Our belief is rooted in the Jewish custom and belief. Jesus was born as a Jew, grew up as a Jew, and he died as a Jew. In fact, the king of the Jew. And comparing the culture and background of Chinese and the Jew, of course, there are differences. But we have quite a number of similarities. But let's talk about, if you think Jews, they are clever, intelligent. They are specially chosen by God. They were blessed by God. I think you are right. Looking at the number of Jews got the Nobel Prize, you will be shocked. It's about 1/3 of the prize winners. They were Jews. And out of all these winners, only 3 out of almost 800 were Muslim. But what about Chinese? Chinese, we have as far as I'm concerned, there is a curse in some of the Chinese thinking. We say, "Bu wei ge sa dai," the wealthy will not last for 3 generations. No, this is a curse. We should rebuild it. I want to bless you in the name of Jesus, that your wealth, your goodness, not only cross 3 generations, but from generations to generations. And we should get better and better. But how? The secret is in Christ Jesus. So for Jews, they had the custom, tradition, or the way they look at God's blessing and how to fulfill the requirement by God. For us Chinese, if you are very rich, you will give all your treasures, property, business, to your son, regardless of whether your son can make it or not. Is that right? If the father is an emperor, the son will become emperor. But if the son is useless, certain dynasty will last for just 2 or 3 generations, because the whole kingdom is in the hand of someone who cannot manage. But not for Jews. The idea of passing on treasure and goodness to the next generation is quite different from we Chinese. So let's look at verse 1 again. "I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. What does that mean? When a Jew had a son, if anything happened to the father died. This child, who is so young, is not going to inherit the treasure, the inheritance from the father, because he was too young to receive all this. Then whose responsibility? If this child has elder brother who is an adult, then it is the brother's, elder brother's responsibility. If not, his uncle, the siblings, the brothers of the father. According to the Jewish custom, the brothers would have the responsibility to take care of the nephews. So, in a sense, if this child, he is the heir, he is the owner, supposed to be the owner of everything, but is no different from a slave. What does that mean? A slave would not be able to inherit anything from the owner. No way. So when the child was very young, there is no different as he is a child, no different from a slave. Verse 2, but he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. Since young, it could be from 3 years old, the child is sent to the synagogue to learn the Hebrew alphabet, and from the alphabet start to read the Bible, and then go on until the child is 12. He should have read the first 5 books of the Old Testament, from Genesis to Deuteronomy, day after day, to the extent they could learn by heart of these 5 books. And that is the primary education for all Jews until today, for those religious Jews. So that was the education during the childhood. And in the Greek original text in the Bible, it's called technion. To us, child is a child. Son is a son. No differentiation. But in the Jewish concept, a child who is very young is called technion, a child. No different from slave. He is not going to inherit anything in case whatever things happen to the father. Then come to 12 years old. There is a ceremony. The father will bring the child to the synagogue and tell the rabbi, my child is 12. Then the rabbi would make an arrangement for the child to get up to the pulpit to read a passage of the Bible. And now the ceremony is different. In Jerusalem, almost every day, you will be able to see parents bringing their son, who is turning 12 to 13, between 12 to 13. And he is the center of the focus. This is the child. It's something like they are primary 6, graduated from the junior school. I wish we should do the same. When they are graduated from the junior school, the child should come up and read a passage of the Bible. And then we should hand over this child from the Sunday school to our Hilok Tuan, Joy Fellowship. He is no more a child from this day onward. He is considered as a teenage. And today, the ceremony is quite different from Jesus' time. That was 2,000 years ago. They will beat the drum with musicians around they sing and dance and escort the child all the way to the Wailing Wall or to any synagogue, and they celebrate. How to celebrate? The very first thing, the child must read the Bible, and the rabbi will bless him, and all the elders around will bless him. And after the ceremony, the female, the woman, the sisters will throw some sweet to this child, and signifying this is the last time he would have sweet. From this day onward, he is a teenager. He is supposed to be responsible for his act. He must learn how to obey the law of Moses and learn how to keep the law. Interestingly, in Luke chapter 2, recorded what happened when Jesus was 12. And when Jesus was 12 years old, Joseph and Mary went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents did not know it, assuming that he was in the group of travelers. Then went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in the heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. I believe you would have many questions to ask about this passage. What actually happened? Why Joseph and Mary were so careless? They didn't have Jesus with them and they did not realize. Again, you have to understand the custom. When they were traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, cross the Jordan River, move upward all the way to Galilee, and turn left to Nazareth. This is the route they would have taken. But from Jerusalem to Jericho, this part of the route is very dangerous. It was in 2,000 years ago and is now as well. They were leprosy patients trying to grab food from people, and the zealot, they were there to kill, to rob. So they would have to travel in a group. All the strong men will be in the front or at the back. And the camel, the treasures, women and children will be in between. And after the ceremony for the 12 years old, Joseph thought Jesus was still young, although the ceremony was over. But he may consider himself still a child, and he stayed with the mother right in between. And Joseph, as a strong man, young man, should be in the front or at the back, guarding the whole safety of the travelers, including women and children. And he thought Mary and Jesus would be somewhere in between, where Mary was right in the middle of the group. She may think Jesus is a young man now. He should be with the Father in the front or at the back. But when they met one day later, where is Jesus? I thought he is with you. No, he is not with me. I thought he is with you. They realized Jesus was not among them. They searched among the group, could not find. They would have to join another group to turn back from Jericho back to Jerusalem. So only on the third day, they found Jesus. So this incident is to tell you about the ceremony. Since Jesus' time, it could be since Moses' time, until today they are practicing. So for a child, it's a child. And the parents would not know whether he can make it or not. But he should be under the strict teaching of the rabbi in the synagogue to learn the Bible. Once he turned teenage, after the 12 years old ceremony, and verse 3 in Galatians chapter 4, in the same way we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. And when the child has grown up to become a teenager, the Bible mentioned children, but in the original text is another word, technon. It's no more technion, but technon, teenage. And for this age, this teenager is responsible for his own deed of his doing. He must learn to obey the law of Moses and to face the consequences of the law. So the father would have the guardians to teach him all the knowledge, and a manager or steward at home to teach him eventually how this teenager will become a man. And he should be a good husband and a good father eventually. And this is what we are lacking in our education. We teach knowledge, but in our syllabus, it seems like we don't have to teach them to become a good wife, good husband, good mother, and good father. In the Jewish training, beside knowledge, you must turn a man, a good man, a husband, a father. Until the time. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And son, the word is huios, is totally different now that we see. And what does that mean? Now that he is a son, huios, what does that mean? So you have to understand from a child, technon, technion, to teenage, technion, technon, and then to son, huios. We don't have this concept at all. So when a teenage, under training from 12 all the way, could be 20 or could be 22, the father will see whether this son can be graduated or not. If the father think my son has grown up and he had learned the law well enough, He got a report from the rabbi. And from the steward, he knows his son is able to become a good husband, a good man. And from the knowledge, he has teacher to teach him, knowing that this son is able to take over my business. He can be a man, my real son. The father will bring this son to the synagogue and tell the priest, the rabbi, my son is an adult from this day onwards. Same thing, the rabbi or the priest will make an arrangement for this young man to come up to the pulpit to read a passage of the Bible. Same as 12 years old. But what is different here is after the service, the father would give a banquet to everyone. We Chinese also have a tradition, but we only give a banquet when the son is married. Our concept is when the son got married, he is considered a man, but not quite the Jews. You have to become a man first, then talk about marriage. Marriage is something to happen later. But right now, if the father thinks his son is able to handle his business, is able to have his own social standing, he is now a man, he will have this ceremony for his son. But let me tell you, not all the son would have this. Some can never make it. For those who cannot make it, then it's the responsibility of other siblings, other son, to take care of this brother, because he is not going to inherit anything from the father. And this day may come when the son turned 20 or 22 or 25. Don't know when it'll be until the father said so. And now I would like to bring you to Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son parable. You know this parable very well. This son took the money from the father, went far away, and he spent everything, and he came back. The son said to the father, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one. Put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate." Why did the father do this? Besides, give him the robe, the rings, the father ordered a banquet. Why? He wanted all the people to come, eat and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. And this is a Jewish tradition. The very first time it was done, this teenage became the son, an adult. But he failed. What did the father do? He repeat. He did it again for this particular son. After they ate and celebrated, what does that mean? Dear friends, neighbors, brothers and sisters, please don't call my son a prodigal son. He was dead, but now alive. He was lost, and now is found. He is my son. So when a father gave a ceremony to his son and invited people for a banquet, what does that mean? Feel free to negotiate business with him. He can represent me to sign the contract. He can sign the check on my behalf. In fact, he is an independent adult. He could sign the check. Anything happen to me, he has all my inheritance. So feel free to do business with him. And he is now an adult. And therefore, the Jews is able to continue the good tradition. Only the good will become son. And we have to praise God. He sent Jesus, and through him, we are his son. It's not the technion or technon, but we are called huios. And we have the right to be called his son and to receive all the goodness from him. And therefore, verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. My dear brothers and sisters, I think you know John chapter 1, verse 12 very well. To be called a son, this is a right. And this right would only come from the Father. So praise God, for we believe in Christ Jesus, and through him we become a son of God, regardless of your gender, whether male or female, all of us become son of God. Therefore, we all have the right to receive the goodness promised by God. And God see us as an adult, as someone who is worthy. So never see yourself as a slave. You are no more a slave. And you are no more a slave of law and of this society. You are a son of God through Christ Jesus. And you have the right to be called son and the right to receive the inheritance given by him. So understanding the Jewish root would help us to understand the Bible in a better way. So how are we going to teach our next generation? I think we have a lot to learn from the Jews. On the other hand, as you know, you are now a son. How are you going to behave as a Christian? Not just claiming on your right, but you are an independent person in the eyes of God. You are responsible for your doing, and you are responsible to God and your fellow man. And you have to be a good wife, good husband, and a good mother, and a good father. And we are all accountable in the eyes of God. God gave us law to put us in the circle of sin, for us to understand we are not able to save ourselves by keeping the law. Therefore, God sent his son. And through the tradition of the Jews, we should be able to come to a better understanding. And we are really an heir through God. And this is something joyous that we can go on to serve Him as a son. And I do hope today's reading will give us a good ending of this year, and we look into a good new year, a blessed year, and we continue to serve Him and walk with Him and put our hands in His hand, and we enjoy in Christ Jesus and enjoy as a son of God, our Father. Let us pray then. Let us come before God with appreciation, with thanksgiving, acknowledging that the salvation we received through Christ Jesus, and now we are truly a son of God. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for this privilege and this right to be able to come before your throne of grace through your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to understand through the background, through the context, custom, and culture of Jews, that we can have a better understanding of the Bible. And more, help us to understand, as a son of God, our responsibility to God the Father, to our fellow men, to our nation and society, and of course, to the church. We thank you for this good year, as we have many good things to look back, to remember, to rejoice. And as we look forward to a new year, we pray that you lead us so that we can walk closely with you and enjoy the goodness you have promised to us as a son. And through your son, we are able to receive all this. And as we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we want to give you thanks and praise. Amen.